Today's Shir is Masechta Yuma, Daf Ayin Tes. We will begin on Daf Ayin Ches on the Beis at the bottom of the Amid. Says the Mishnah, Hoichel Kesevis Hagasa. If somebody eats on Yom Kippur the amount of a Kesevis Hagasa, the halacha is that that's the amount that you chayif for eating. Of course, we've been learning one may not eat on Yom Kippur. The Shir is Kesevis Hagasa. Begins the Gemara by Rapapa. On this halacha, Rapapa asked the Shaila, Kesevis Ha'amru, when Chazal told us that the shear of Achil on Yom Kippur is the shear of a Kesevis, how do we understand what does that mean? Begranisa with its pit, or beloy granisa without its pit? And there are many pshatim offered by the Rishonim. What is the Gemara's question? Rashi explains, does it mean a complete date with its pit, or do we look at it without its pit? Or do we look at it without its pit? We just look at the fruit part itself. Tosfos explains that the Gemara's question is that, well, do we say that it's the pit, date with the pit and another pit on top of it? And that means, k'mayu k'grenisa, is that we don't just look at the kesevis alone, but we also look at a little more than the pit itself, or is it the fruit with the pit alone, but nothing more? So in other words, Tosfos says that the fruit with the pit is a minimum that you're going to be chayif. The question is it even more than just the fruit and the pit? The Aruch has a different pshat. Do we look at the fruit, and do we have to look at the fruit the way it is? We know when we look at a fruit, particularly if it's a fresh fruit, if it's not dried out, so then there's empty space, there's air within the fruit. And the question of the Gemara is that when we look at the fruit, do we squeeze the fruit together and look at the fruit that way, or do we look at the fruit as it is, even though it's a little plumper because it has in it those air spaces? The Gemara asks another question, similar question. The Torah says that etzim kesoira is metama, that's the bone of a mace, the size of a soira, the size of a barley, is metama b'maga b'mas, if you touch it or you carry it. So here too, asks the Gemara, by Rav Ashi, etzim kesoira, when we speak about a bone that has to be the size of a barley to be tamei, is it biklipasai? Is it with its peel? Or belike plasai without the peel? Furthermore, belacha, do we speak about a moist soira, which obviously is larger, or biyavesha, or do we speak about a dry soira, which is smaller? Says the Gemara, Rav Ashi, that asked the question regarding the etzim kesoira, loyme boyle hadra papa, did not have a question. The question Rav Papa began to share with, that what would be the halacha by a kesevis hagasa, is not a question to him. Because he says, the Mishnah, by using the word gasa, what the Mishnah is trying to teach us is gasa itmar. And what the Mishnah wants to say with that word is kol kama de gasa. Whatever makes it bigger is going to be considered in the Kesevis Hagasa. And I saw that the Achronim explained that this statement that Rav Ashi made is really connected to the Machloikas Rishonim that we began today's shiur with understanding Rav Papa's question. According to Rashi, that said that the question was, do we include the pit or not? So the Gemara is saying that according to Rav Ashi, there is no question that we certainly include the pit. There's nothing to talk about that. According to Tosfos, he means to say that Tosfos' question was, do we look at only at the kesevis, at the fruit itself, or do we maybe include the shear of a pit on top of that? It's also not a question, because he's saying that our Mishnah is teaching us that we look at the kesevis as the kesevis, as the kesevises, without any additional attachment to it. And according to the Aruch, that we said the question was, do we include the airspaces or do we not include the airspaces? We certainly include the airspaces. Because again, that's the statement that Rav Ashi made. Rav Ashi makes the statement that the Mishnah says, Kasevis Agasa. Kasevis Agasa means we look at the Kasevis the way it is with the airspaces. On the other hand, says the Gemara, Rapapa, let me buy the Hadar Rav Ashi. The question that Rav Ashi asked regarding the Etzem Hasaira was not a question. Says the Gemara regarding Lacha. It says, Lacha, if it was moist, it's not called Sa'ira. It's called Shibaylus Mikri. At that point, it has a different name. It's called the Shibaylus. And when Shiloy B'Klipasai, when it doesn't have a peel around it, it's not called Sa'ira anymore. It's called Ushla Mikri. So we see that the fact that the Mishnah teaches us that it's a Sa'ira, it's very clear. It's with its peel, but not when it's moist. Amar Rabba, Amar Rav Yehuda, Kasevis Agasa Sha'amru. When we speak about the Kasevis Agasa, that's the shear that we're learning regarding Hilchos Yom Kippur, Yuseir Mikabeya, says the Gemara, it's larger than the shear of a Kabeya. Very often in Shas, we have a shear of Kabeya. And our Gemara, and he's teaching us now that when we speak about the Kasevis Agasa, what it means, it's coming to teach us that it's somewhat larger, a little larger than a kabeya. The Kimla Rabbanan. So what's bothering the Gemara is why did Chazal say Kasevis? We have shiurim that we always use in the Torah, a kazayas, the kabeya, and all of a sudden here the shiur is a Kasevis. So says the Gemara, because Kimla Rabbanan, Chazal established the bahachi, when somebody eats the shira kasevis, miyasvidaiti. That's when he feels full from his eating. However, batsamahachi, when he eats less than that, lamiyasvidaiti, he's not considered full. And since on Yom Kippur, the Torah, when it speaks about eating on Yom Kippur, doesn't speak about achila, but as we've learned many times, the Torah speaks about yisuvidaiti. And since it speaks about inui, and eating, as we've learned previously in our perek, is the opposite of inui. So Chazal said that the shear on Yom Kippur is going to be dependent if it's miyatsvedate or loy miyatsvedate. That's what is going to be the important part. So I saw that the Sefer Zeche Yitzchak says that there's another fundamental difference between the Isser Achila on Yom Kippur versus this Achila B'chol HaTorah Kula. He explains that B'chol HaTorah Kula, when the Torah tells us not to eat Macholos Asuris, the Torah has said that that act of eating is Asur. Whereas by Yom Kippur, we're learning that it's dependent on Yisuvei Dati. So the person is not Chayiv for Achila on Yom Kippur until he finishes eating. And that, when he finishes eating the shira of a kesevis, that's when he has yisuvei date. Before he ate that amount, he didn't have yisuvei date. Moreover, the Yerushalmi makes a very interesting point that what's going to be the halacha, that if somebody ate half a kesevis and then he ate another half of kesevis, obviously, b'toich kedei achilas pras. The halacha is that even Resh Lakish, who we learned at the beginning of our parak, is of the opinion that chatzi shir is not osur min haTorah. Here, he will agree that it's osur. Because when we speak about regla achila, so shiurim are a critical part of what is or isn't considered a maisa achila. By Yom Kippur, it's not dependent on a Maisa Achila, as we're learning. On Yom Kippur, it's dependent, did you have Yisuvei Datei or not? And therefore, if you had Yisuvei Datei, the halacha is that you're Chayiv. But there's a very, very interesting discussion based on this. If everything on Yom Kippur, as we're going to learn in our shir, is dependent on Yisuvei Hadas, so the Shal Shuvas Hilchus Ketanis says that it could be that if somebody drinks water on Yom Kippur, he wouldn't be chayiv, because he wants to suggest that water doesn't have in it any nourishment, and therefore water should be less of a concern on Yom Kippur than any other food or drink, because it doesn't have nutritional value, and therefore it doesn't have the concept of Yisuvei Date. He brings a raya from the halacha that we learned that by Ruvei Tchumim, in order to be able to make a Ruvei Tchumim, you have to put down a food item. So the halacha is, and the Rambam paskens this way, that you can't use water for Ruvei Tchumim. And the Rambam says, Shamayim hein l'hoylech ha-mezoynus l'mekoymus ha-tzrichim. The point of water is that the water serves as a method of transferring the food, the nourishment, to the different parts of the body that need the nourishment. It only prevents, it's only there to prevent problems. If somebody's thirsty, so by drinking water, he quenches his thirst. There is no nourishment. That's what the Rambam says. So therefore, according to him, according to the Shulchan Katanis, if somebody has to drink on Yom Kippur, certainly he should drink water, not any other beverages. Because if water doesn't have Yisuvei Date, so then there wouldn't be a Chiv Deraisa, according to his suggestion, for drinking water on Yom Kippur. So it would be best, if you had to drink Chas V'Shalom, you should drink water. However, most Paiskim disagree with him. The Michsalozer, the Shalos Tshuvos Michsalozer, Chelek Dalid, Simen Nun Ches, says that, interestingly, that the scientists and doctors have taught us that water is very, very healthy, and water is very required for a proper diet. And he says, I, the Rambam paskens, that by Ruvei Tchumim, you shouldn't use water. He says, the reason that the halacha is you shouldn't use water is because people don't have a lot of respect. People don't consider water a very significant beverage. And because people don't have that level of respect, so to speak, to water, so Chazal said that when we put down a Ruvei Tchumim, we should use something that is significant in people's eyes. But not to say, in any way, he suggests the water is any less important than any other drink. And therefore, he suggests that, of course, that the water is the same as all other beverages, and one should not drink water, or one should not doesn't have to prefer water over other beverages on Yom Kippur. Meisvei asked the Gemara. So here we said that the Kesevas Agasa is larger than the Beya, and that's the food that you have Yisuvei Date with on Yom Kippur. That's why that's the food that you're not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah, Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chaf Vav Amar Beis. The Mishnah, in the previous Mishnah there, on Daf Chaf Hei Amar Aleph, had taught us that Achilas Arai and Shtiyas Arai, if it's not a full-fledged Achilo or Shtiyah, permitted outside the Sukkah. And the reason is because the Torah, when it speaks about our obligation to eat in the sukkah, says Teshvukei Taduru. We eat in the sukkah like we live in our homes. So people eat a full-fledged meal, they eat at home. But a snack they'll take everywhere. And because of that, if something is considered an achilas arai, a pidin, you could eat it chutz the sukkah. Moreover, our Mishnah, that our Gemara is quoting now, is saying that if somebody, however, wants to be machmer and only eat in the sukkah, fantastic. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah over there in Masechta Sukkah teaches us in the Chavav on the base, Mas reveal fun Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai litim as a tafshul. They brought Rabbi Gamliel, wanted him to taste the meal before they were going to eat it. Ula Gamliel shtei tava, shtei kaisus, they brought him two dates with the lishal mayim, and a cup of water. Vamru helam l'sukkah, and the Gemara says that they told him to take it to the sukkah because they did not want to eat outside the sukkah. And the Gemara over there, in explaining the Mishnah, says, not that the halacha requires that you must eat such an amount in the sukkah. They brought him this little amount of food just for taste. And the Mishnah is teaching us, according to the Gemara's explanation, according to the Meiri, that there is no yuara. Sometimes it shows that a person is acting in an inappropriate manner, that he's doing something that the halacha doesn't require him to do. Here we're learning that there's nothing wrong if somebody wants to be machmer, that not to eat anything chutz l'sukkah. Why is there no yura? So the Meretz Chaya explains, because when somebody sees me eating, he doesn't know that this is just that I'm eating for tasting, as the Gemara says. He may assume that what I'm eating is because this is a meal, this is part of my meal. And therefore, there's no yura. Ukshinasun Reb Tzadik, says the Gemara, when they gave Reb Tzadik, Ochel Pachs Mikabeya, he ate less than a kabeya outside of the sukkah. So he had three kulas, the way Rashi explains, in his behavior. One is that he did not wash the tilos yadayim, even though he was going to eat bread, because his opinion is that if you eat less than a kabeya, the halacha is that you don't have to wash your hands. The next was notla b'mapa, that he, however, ate the bread, he did wrap his hands in a towel. He didn't eat the bread without anything. And there are a number of reasons why he did that. Rashi explains he did it because of cleanliness reasons. He was an istanis. Rashi calls him aninei hadas, and he therefore did never wanted to eat food without properly washing his hands first. Tosfos says that he was a kohen, and he was makbid always to eat food with tahara. And since we know that until one washes his hands, a person's hands are considered shnius l'tumah. So therefore, he did not touch the food directly if he had not washed his hands. He first wrapped them in a towel. The Mirik says that the food that he ate was actually truma. Again, according to the Mirik, he was obviously a kohen. And he says the food that he ate was truma. And by truma, the halacha is that on one hand, of course, one can't eat truma with hands that were not washed. But normally, says the Meiri, the halacha requires that one must wash his hand. There are no other options. He says, because truma is so much more serious than chulin, Chazal said that one could fulfill his requirement just with wrapping his hands, not with necessarily washing his hands. V'loy birech achrov, and when he ate, He did not make a bracha achrona, because as we're going to learn, his opinion is that you don't say brichas hamazon unless you eat a kbeya of bread, and he didn't eat that much bread. The question is that we just learned, asked the Yishuv Yaakov, that we found that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and Rav Gamliel were machmer not to eat anything chutz l'sukkah. And here we find that Reb Tzadik wasn't machmer. And the question the Yishuv Yaakov asks, why didn't Reb Tzadik have the same chumrah? So, one teretz that the Yishuv Yaakov offers is Reb Tzadik was concerned that if he's going to eat in the sukkah, he may come to make a bracha, leisha b'sukkah. And as we learned, if you don't eat the right amount or the food that you're obligated to eat in the sukkah, you're obviously not going to make a leisha b'sukkah. Since he was concerned that he may come to make a bracha levatala, that's why he didn't eat. That's why he wasn't machmer to take the food into the sukkah. Another pshat that he suggests is that why indeed, if somebody eats an achila sarai, is he not obligated to eat in the sukkah? So the reason is because he may come to eat achilas kvah. But what we find over here with Reb Tzadik is the Reb Tzadik made a hecker. He showed that this is not a regular type of eating by wrapping his hand in a towel. If it was a regular type of eating, of course he would have never wrapped his hands in a towel. He would have washed his hands properly. So if we're only supposed, if the halacha is that one is chutz l'sukkah, he doesn't, when one is chutz l'sukkah, he should eat. He could, what is eating less than the shear? Why should he eat in the sukkah? For we are concerned that he may come to eat the shear. Here, we don't have that concern. He had something to remind him that he should chas v'sham not come to eat achilas kva. The other teretz that I saw the Achronim suggest is that we said before that what's the chiddush that one should could eat this amount in the sukkah? We're not worried about yura, but Rav Tzadik was concerned for yura. So we see from here that the reason this that he acted this way was because he was eating less than a kebaya. Ha-kebaya, but if he was eating kebaya by sukkah, then he would have to eat it in the sukkah. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, v'sakadata k'sevus agasa sh'amru. If we're going to say the k'sevus agasa that we're speaking about in our sugyas, is yisair mikebaya, is larger than a kebaya? Ask the Gemara, hashtashtei k'sevus. If when we have two k'sevus that were brought to Gamaliel, below Garinin, they didn't have their pits. Why didn't they have the pits? Because people don't eat the pits. Loi hayu kebeya, we're saying that two garinin don't have, the two dates don't have, without their pits, don't equal a kebeya, because if they were as large as a kebeya, there would be a chi of sukkah midaraisa. It wouldn't just be that they were machma on themselves to eat in the sukkah. So kesevis, agasa v'grinosa, so if you have only one kesevis with its pit, Miavi Yisera Kebeya, is that larger than Kebeya? So the Gemara is assuming now that the pit of a Kesevis is not larger than the fruit of the Kesevis. So if you have a pit, if you have a Kesevis with its pit, it's how could we suggest it's larger than a Kebeya? Amr Rabbi Yirmiya. So Rabbi Yirmiya says, in absolutely. Shtei Kesevis b'gloi gurinason. If you have indeed two kesevis without their pits, lo yahav kebeya, they will not equal the size of a kebeya. However, kesevis agrinasa, the grinasa, a kesevis agasa and its pit is larger than a beya. Because what we're learning from here is that the pit of a kesevis is larger than the fruit. And therefore, two kesevis without the pits may not equal a beya. But one kesevis with its pit is larger than a peya. So it's Gaval de Gavart from the Chsam Sofer. Here we're learning that the pit of the kesevis is more than the fruit. So he says, that's why perhaps when we speak about achila on Yom Kippur, or with the Isra achila on Yom Kippur, we speak about a kesevis. He says, because how is a person supposed to enter Yom Kippur? What is supposed to be his frame of mind as he enters Yom Kippur? That he has more averis than mitzvahs. What is the representation where it is more waste, where it is more what's not useful than useful? The kesevis. Because the Gemara just said that the kesevis, the pit, is larger than the fruit. And a person looks at the kesevis and he looks at himself and he says, that's who I am. I have more averis than mitzvahs. But my job is to spend the day of Yom Kippur doing tshuva and about tshuva, then his averis become mitzvahs, and I'll end off the day with more mitzvahs than averis. Our Rapapa supports what we just learned, that the kesevis, the pit, is larger than the fruit. Hanidari inchi, this is what people are accustomed to say, trei kavi de tamri, when you have two kavim of dates, chad kavi kedkashi yisovisariach, you're going to have more than one kav of pits, because the pits are larger than the fruit. Rav Amar, the Rav says that the kesevis agasa and the garinisa are bigger than a beya. From there we see that the beya is larger. Hasam, hanatama, the reason by the sukkah he was allowed to eat two kesevis outside of the sukkah, because for a different reason, because mishum d'havalei peri, there we're talking about a fruit. And the Gemara is saying, "Operi le bayis sukkah." It has nothing to do with the amount of fruit. fruit itself, the Gemara is saying, is not considered an achila for which you're mechuyev to eat sukkah, and that in the sukkah, and that's indeed the psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Reish Lamedtes Sif Beis, that when one eats fruits, there's no chiv to eat in the sukkah midaraisa. Only when you eat pas, or one of the pas more than a bayah, or one of the, or you eat a food that has in it the chamishis minei dogan, like a mezainis, then there's a chiv to eat midaraisa. However, the Mishkan Yaakov does suggest that if one is eating fruit as a kaviya suda, somebody sitting down and his meal is fruit, then maybe he has a chiv to eat sukkah, even though it's just fruit. Meisvei, so ask the Gemara on what Rava just said. Amrabi, kshinu lam den Torah, etzer Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua, when we're learning Torah, Rabbi Lezer ben Shemua, hevi lefonav teinim v'anovim v'achilam l'machil asuroi chutz l'sukkah. We ate them, and the reason we were allowed to eat them chutz l'sukkah is because our form of eating, our fashion of eating, was only in achilas aroi. So what do we see from this Gemara? Achilas aroi, that's why they were allowed to eat them chutz l'sukkah. Achilas kva, but if the fashion they would have eaten them was an achilas kva, loy. So we see that even by Paris, there's a concept of achilas kva. Answers the Gemara, this is the way Rav is going to explain that braisa. Ema, achalnum ke achilas aroi chutz l'sukkah. It has nothing to do the way we ate them. Rather, what the Gemara is saying is that when, as we just said from the Shulchan Aruch, that whenever we eat achilas peiris, it's always considered in the category of achilas arai, and we know that in achilas arai, one does not have to eat in the sukkah. It's very interesting. Here the Gemara says that Rebbe, who was Rebbe's Rebbe? His Rebbe was Rebbe Elazar ben Shemua, who was from the last Tanoim. And based on this, the Shalos HaTshuvos Hilchos Ketanis says that Rebbe was the last Tana. And even he suggests that under certain circumstances, Rebbe is to be considered an Amora. So why did he get this great title of being Rebbe? One is because he was a Nasi, the son of Nasiim. So he got this title because of that great position that he had. Another explanation that I always saw is that he was a colleague of Antigonus, the Antoninus, the emperor, and that friendship stood to Klal Yisrael's benefit in many times, and that's why he had this great title. Or we know the Rebbe was the author of the Mishnayos, and because he was the author of the Mishnayos, he deserves this very great title. Ibai Seima, another teretz, achal machilas kva, that the halach is that Rebbe also ate bread. Achal machilas kva, he ate bread. Vegam achal pas achilas aroi, that he ate the peiris and achilas kva, and the bread that he ate along, the bread wasn't really the main part of the meal, or the mezoinus, as we said a few moments ago, was not the main part of the meal. Ba'adai yechutz l'sukkah. That could be eaten chutz l'sukkah, even though he's eating bread, since that's not the main part of his meal. Lema Masayli. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya that achilas peiris, no matter what, when, or where, you're never obligated to eat peiris if that's all you're eating in the sukkah. The Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph, teaches us that according to Rebbe Elazar, one is obligated to eat over the yontif of sukkah 14 meals. Every day, a meal in the evening and a meal in the morning. According to the Chachamim, the obligation to eat a meal in the sukkah only is on the first night of yontif. And Rebbe Elazar, when he speaks about those 14 meals, Lefikachem Hishlam B'minei Tagina, if somebody missed one of the 40 meals, if he eats Minei Tagima, and the way Tosfos explains Minei Tagima is meat or fish, main courses, Yotza. He can be Yotza, the Chiev of one of the 40 meals. V'sakadatach, if we're going to say that Pei Ribor Sukkah, that even by fruit, there's an obligation to eat fruit, listen to Peiris, Then why doesn't the Gemara say that one of the ways you could make up one of the missed meals is by eating peiros? So we see from here that this is the point that we're learning, that peiros one is never obligated to eat in the sukkah. My mina tagima, says the Gemara, this raya is not a raya, because Rav Elazar just said that you could make up one of the meals with tagima. Maybe the definition of tagima is peiros. Vibais ema, maybe the reason he didn't use peiros as an example of a way to make up a missed meal in the sukkah is because ba'asra d'lo shchicha peiri, where he lived, fruit wasn't readily available. And because fruit wasn't readily available in that place, that's why fruit wasn't used as the example. So our Gemara just taught us that Mine Targima, Rabbi Elazar just taught us that if one is missing a meal from the 40 meals that he holds, you have to eat on the sukkah, in the sukkah on Yom Tov, you can make it up with Mine Targima. And Taisus points out that this halacha, the Mine Targima can be used to make up a meal, is only as far as Hilchas Sukkah is concerned, what we're learning in our sugya. But for Shal Shudas on Shabbos, for example, says Taisus, the only way you can fulfill Shal Shudas on Shabbos is by eating actual bread. Anything else is not considered fulfillment of Shal Shudas. And the reason is because the halacha of Shal Shudas is learned from the man. And the man was our bread in the Midbar. However, Taisus points out in Masechta Pesachim, Taisus Masechta Pesachim, Kuf Aleph Amar Aleph, the Ramaskal Te'ima disagrees, and he says that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Shal Shudas with Mine Targima. Taisus does say that that's only the third meal, the meal that we eat Shabbos afternoon, the meal that we eat Friday in the evening, or the meal that we eat Shabbos morning, there we have to have bread. Taisus Yishanim quotes an opinion that you could be yotza all three meals on Shabbos with Mine Targima. And it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch, when it discusses this halacha, brings down, in Siman Reish Tzadik Aleph, Sif Hei, brings down no less than four opinions. One opinion is that you have to have bread by Shal Shudas. Another opinion is that you could be yoytzu chamishas minei dogim, which means a mezainus. So a third opinion is you could be yoytzu a bos of a dogim, meat or fish. And a fourth opinion is that you could be yoytzer even with fruit. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins that one should eat bread, unless the person is very full and he can't eat bread because he's just so satiated. But under normal circumstances, one should eat bread for Shal Shudas. The Or Zeruah says that this machlokes will be relevant to a different question. He says, if somebody said Birchas HaMazon after Shal Shudas, but he didn't say Ritzei V'Achlitzeinu, will he have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon? If the halacha is that that Shal Shudas requires bread, so then the halacha would be that this is a regular full-fledged Suda. It's no different than any of the other Suda Shabbos. And just like by the other Suda Shabbos, we have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon if one omitted the Ritzei. Here too would be the same halacha. But if Birchas HaMazon, if Shal Shudas doesn't require bread, then according to that, then you would not have to repeat the Birchas HaMazon if you omitted Ritzei V'Chletzeinu. The Gemara says now that the Gemara wanted to say that could be the Mine Targima means Peiros. Just in his place, there weren't peiros available. So the Tosfos Rosh says that what does it mean that there's no peiros available? Is there a place in the world where there are no peiros? So says the Tosfos Rosh, from here we must see that the peiros that the Gemara is saying that you maybe could be yotza with is peiros that are from the Shiva Saminim. And not in every place in the world are Shiva Saminim peiros available. So he's saying that even when we're considering peiros as choshev, it's only peiros which are the shivas haminim. So till now, we've been explaining that the ksevas agasa is larger than a kebeya. But now the Gemara says that Rav Zvid disagrees. And Rav Zvid Omar, ksevas agasa shamru, when we speak about the ksevas agasa, chaser mi kebeya. It's actually less than a kebeya. And the Gemara brings a raya to that opinion. The Tanan. The Mishnah teaches us at the beginning of the Sechta Beya, that Beya is Amal Aleph, regarding the Isser of Baal Yiroh and Baal Yimotze on Pesach. And the Mishnah there discusses what are the shiurim of that. B'Shem Ha'imrim, Sar B'Kazayis, Sar means yeast, sourdough, which is not really edible, which is really not edible, but it could be used to make other foods rise. It could be used as a leavening agent. So the shear of a sar is a kazayis, and chametz, the shear is a kasevis. That the shear is a kasevis. Vavinimba, and trying to understand the opinion of Beis Shammai, my time of the Beis Shammai. So he says, the Torah that doesn't agree with Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel says that everything the shear is the same, that the shear is always a kazayis. My time of the Beis Shammai, that says that there's a different shear by chametz than there is by sar. So he says, because nichtav rachmana, the Torah should have said, lo yir alecha chametz. V'loi boi, why does the Torah also have to say, v'loi yir alecha sar? V'na amina. And now, says the Gemara, if the Torah would have just mentioned chametz, we would come to obvious conclusion, or ma chametz ein chametzah kasha, if chametz, which doesn't have the ability to make other foods into chametz, it's not a leavening agent. The halach is also a kazayis. You're not allowed to have in your possession a kazayis of that type of food on Pesach. Sar, shechemutza kasha. Sar, which we just said, sourdough, which has the ability to make other foods chametz, like koshkein, that certainly the shear is a kazayis. Midah flinug rechmona. If the Torah went out of its way to teach us le'yirah l'cha chametz v'le'yirah l'cha sar, limdah l'cha, says Beis Shammai, to teach us that shure kazeh like a shure shazeh. They don't have the same shear. Sar, the shear is going to be a kazayis, and chametz, the shear is going to be a kasevis. So Rashi says, so Al Gemara is speaking about the shearim on Ba'yirah Ba'yimotzei. So Tais Yukupurim asks that, why don't we say that, yes, Rabbi Shammai just explained that the shear of chametz and the shear of sar are not the same, but maybe we should say the opposite. Chametz, which is edible, has a smaller shear. Sar, sourdough, even though it's used as a leavening agent, but it doesn't have, it's not edible, so it should require a larger shear. So he answers that here we're not talking about eating. In terms of eating, you're right. Chametz is edible, sar is not edible, and that's why chametz should have a smaller shear. Here we're speaking about the Isser of Ba'yirah Ba'yimotzei. And regarding Ba'yirah Ba'yimotzei, something which has the ability to make other foods into chametz should be more usser than foods that don't have that ability. What is going to be Pshat Beis Hillel explains the Tosfos Yom Kippurim. So the Tosfos Yom Kippurim says that Beis Hillel says, so why did the Torah say, interestingly, on Pesach, which we don't find by anywhere else, an Isser Ba'yirah Ba'yimotzei? Because the Torah, so to speak, was concerned that we're going to own chametz, we may come to eat the chametz. So from here we see that the eating and the owning travel very much together, and the svara that we should therefore be more machmer by sar versus than by chametz is not something that he will agree. As Tosfos, here we're learning that how does Beis Shammai come to his conclusion regarding the shiurim of chametz and sar? He came through it with this logical explanation that the Gemara just offered. But as Tosfos, we have a klal. We know that shiurim are halacha l'mash m'sinai, that every shear, every size, every measure in halacha is halacha l'mash m'sinai. It's not derived through logic. So he says that that's exactly what Beis Shammai is trying to say. That the pasuk by Yiroh by Yimotzei is not to be understood just in a logical fashion. It's exactly what the Torah is trying to teach us, that this is the halacha, that these are the shiurim. But now the Gemara gets to its point. If we're going to say as the Ksevus Agasa is Yisair Mekabeya, as not like Rav Zvid, like Rabbi Yehuda said, that the Ksevus Agasa is larger than the Kabeya, Michti. Beis Shammai When Beis Shammai is trying to speak about this, he's assured the Nafsh Mekazayas Kamahadrin. He's trying to look for shear that we're going to differentiate Sar from Chametz and say that the shear by Sar is a Kazayas and the shear by Chametz is larger than a Kazayas. So what is the shear that's larger than a Kazayas? A Kabeya. A Kasevis. But if a Kabeya is smaller than a Kasevis, so you want to make that Chametz should have a larger shear than Sar, but why do you have to go all the way to a Kasevis? Why don't you go to a Kabeya if a Kabeya is smaller than a Kasevis? Vinami, and even if you'll suggest, as Rav Zvid, Kiadodinenu, that a Kabeya and a Kasevis are equal in size, Nisni Kabeya, it would make more sense to write Kabeya, because that's the shear that the Torah speaks about often. Elav Shmamina. From here we see, says Rav Zvid, Kasevis is Pchus Mebeya. The Kasevis is less than a Beya. And therefore, Beis Shammai wanted to say that the shear by Chometz is larger than by Sar. So he goes to the next shear. What is the next shear? A Kasevis. He doesn't have to jump all the way to a Kabeya. So the Sittim Kabetzis asks, Agamar is saying that Beis Shammai says that that the Torah had to write both Chometz and Sa'ar, because if the Torah would have only written one, we could not learn the other one without, we would maybe say only, the Gemara suggests just write Chometz and I don't have to write Sa'ar. So ask the Sittim Kabetzis, we have a klal, ein Ein. Logic can't make an Aveira. So how can we say, well, write Chametz and we'll understand Sar? So the Sfasemis answers that this is not to be understood as a Kavachoymer. This is to be understood as a logic that they're all one. And that's not considered a Kavachoymer. Furthermore, says the Sfasemis, that this is not considered Ein Ein Shemen Adin because this is a Lav Shein by Maisa. And there's no malchus for Ba'al Yirah Ba'al Yimatzeh. Ein Anshman Adim means that we can't give a punishment. Here we're not giving out any punishments. So the Gemara said that from here we see that Rav Zvid brought a raya that a Beya is larger than a Kasevis. Mamai asked the Gemara, why is that necessarily a great raya? Dil Maloy Lamei Malach, the Kasevis Gassish Amru Yisem Mikabeya. Hostama, we're talking in our Mishnah about a Kasevis Agasa. A Kasevis Agasa is larger than a Beya. Hostama, but normally, Kabeya. And when Beis Shammai was speaking about Chometz, we didn't say Kasevis Agasa. He's talking about a regular Kasevis. Vinami, Chadodinenu. And that's why he said Kasevis, because a Kasevis is indeed smaller than a Kabeya. And says the Gemara, even if you say that they're equal in size, and therefore you could have said Kabeya, or you could have said Kasevis Agasa, says the Gemara, Chadaminayu Nokit. The Gemara chose to mention one of them, and there's no reason to mention the other one. So we're back to where Rav Zvid is going to prove that the Kasevis, how Rav Zvid is going to prove that the Kasevis is less than a Kabeya, says the Gemara Mihocha. The Mishnah Masech, the Brachas, the Mem Heyom and Aleph teaches us, at Kama Mezamnim. How much, Rashi explains, how much food does one have to eat to be mechuyev in Birchas HaMazon? Another pshat that Rashi offers in Masechet Pesachim is that how much food is there a chiyuv of zimun? How much food that three people who ate together have to do zimun? Another pshat is how much food is there that one can be might see another person? At kazayis de v'remeya. If you ate a kazayis, that's when you chayev in Birchas HaMazon. Rav Yehuda ma at kebeya. Says the Gemara B'mai Kamifki, what is the basis of their machlokes? The Torah, when it speaks about the chiyuv of Birchas HaMazon, says v'chalta v'savata v'rechta s'shem elkecha. Remeis of v'chalta zu achila v'savata zu shtiyah. V'achila, whenever the Torah uses the word achila, we know it means a kazayis. Rav Yehuda sov v'chalta v'savata achila shiyesh boi seviyah. The Torah is speaking about achila that has in it a seviyah, v'ezazu, and how much achila is that? When is it considered you ate that you had satiation? That's when you ate a kabeya. So most Rishonim are of the opinion that midoraisa, there's no chiv of Birchas Hamazon only if you were saveya, only if you're full. Everything that the Gemara is discussing in here is the chiv midrabbanan. And one man d'amah says that it's kezayis, and the other man d'amah holds it's midrabbanan. Furthermore, Ramey says v'chalta v'savata. How do we understand what Ramey says v'chalta zuchila v'savata shuz shtia? That so Tysus has a very interesting. Tysus says that what the Gemara means to say here is that just like after one eats, he's mechuyev to say Birchas Hamazon. After one drinks, but it means drinking wine, there's a chiyev Birchas Hamazon midoraisim, and this would have a very relevant. Be very relevant lalocha lemaisa, and that what does that mean? He explains that according to, we know safek deraisa lechumra, safek derabbanan lekula. So if somebody has a question if he's mechuyev in birchas hamazon deraisa, he should probably say birchas hamazon again because safek deraisa lechumra. A different bracha achroina, which the obligation to say those bracha achroinas are only midrabbanan, safek derabbanan lekula. However, if according to a mayor, when one drinks wine, there's a chiyuv d'oraisa to say a bracha achroina, so then if somebody has a shaila, if he drank wine, did he say a bracha achroina or not, he would have to say over the bracha achroina. But Mordechai explains that the definition of a chalta v'savata, according to a mayor, is that you're not mechuyev in birchas hamazon b'd'oraisa unless you ate and you drank. And the Chazon Ish, based on this, says two very interesting halachas. One is, let's say somebody ate. He didn't drink, but he ate bread, and he says Birchas Hamazon. And then afterwards he drinks, and it's within 72 minutes of when he ate. So when he benched the first time, his chiv Birchas Hamazon was only Birchas Hamazon, a chiv derabbanan. Now that he also drank, his chiv became a chiv deraisa. And when the chiv is a chiv deraisa, so then that when the chiyuv is a chiyuv d'oraisa, the halacha would be that he would have to bench over because he can't be yotzes chiyuv d'oraisa with the birchas hamazon that he said, which was only mechuyev midrabbanan. Furthermore, it will have a group of people sitting and eating together. According to a mayor, who should be the one to lead the benching? If one of them ate and drank and the other people just ate and didn't drink, so his chiyuv birchas hamazon is d'oraisa. Their chiyuv birchas hamazon is only midrabbanan, so he should be the one leading the zimun. Says the Gemara. Back to our sugya. V'sakadata k'sev sagas sh'amri yaseir k'beya, that the sev sagas is larger than a beya, hashta k'beya savui mazba. If a k'beya has the ability to satiate the person, and that's why you're obligated in birchas hamazon, data la miyasva. So why wouldn't it also have the ability to make you satisfied for Yom Kippur? Elav shmamina, it must be. The ksev zagasa sh'amru is pachs mekabeya. A ksev zagasa is less than a kabeya. Kabeya mazba, when you eat a beya of food, it fills you up, but it doesn't satisfy you. Only when you eat a kseves, then does it have the ability to miyasva date, that it has the ability to satisfy you, which is the sheer for Yom Kippur. And now Gemara is teaching us that there are different shiurim. A kezayis, whenever the Torah speaks about a chila, the shiur is a kezayis. Whenever the Torah speaks about tzviya, satiation, the shiur is a kebeya. And when the Torah speaks about Yom Kippur, inui, or yisuvei date, the halacha would be that you have to have a kekseves, that's miyasvei date. Now the question is, when we speak about Yisuvei Date on Yom Kippur, and we're saying that that's what the Isser is on Yom Kippur, so now the question is, how do you have to eat that food that it should be considered Yisuvei Date? Does it have to be Hanos Goyren, that it has to come into your throat? You have to have a Maisa Chila? Or, as long as it came into your body? The Chasam Sofer seems to say that as soon as it has to be in your stomach, it has to be in your body, that's considered the shear. So it turns out to be a kula and a chumra. Because according to the Chasam Sofer, let's say somebody ate exactly the shear of a kaseves. So, and some of that food remained between his teeth. So you wouldn't be chayiv, because you're only chayiv, according to the Chassam Sofer, if you ate, if a kesevis came to mayov, to your stomach. Here, you don't have a kesevis reaching your stomach. But on the other hand, according to the Chassam Sofer, maybe, that let's say you didn't eat in a normal fashion, but a kesevis of food was fed to you through intravenous, maybe you would be chayiv Yom Kippur. Of course, we're not talking about a sick person. And Dar Sameach, however, says that by Yom Kippur, it's dependent on Hanos Groinov. And if somebody gets nourished on Yom Kippur through intravenous, that's not considered a chila on Yom Kippur. And so too is the opinion of the Achiezer. And the Achiezer's opinion is that in Yom Kippur, if you ate through intravenous or through a stomach tube, that isn't something that you would be chayiv on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, it's dependent on Anos Groina. However, to conclude this shir, the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Tofresh Yud Beis Sif Aleph does paskin that the Kesevis Hagasa on Yom Kippur is actually less than the Kabeya.